Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to The Best Football Show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Well, hello. This is The Best Football Show. I'm Brian Baldinger, at Baldy NFL. You can find me on Twitter, at Baldy NFL, or Instagram, or YouTube, TikTok, Baldy NFL. This is The Best Football Show. You can find this on your free Odyssey app. Download it wherever you get your apps or your podcast from, and like it and subscribe to it, because we're trying to grow this. Because I'm talking football every day, and since it's Tuesday, let's talk Monday Night Football at MetLife Stadium, where the Bills beat the Jets 23-20. And, you know, I mean, it was a heavily penalized game, was sloppy, was not well played. But really, the difference in the game was Josh Allen. They're 4-2 in the division. They had lost two in a row on the road. And they come to New York and avoid their third straight loss on the road because of Josh Allen. He just made some sensational plays, whether it's a 42-yard create play where his head coach, Sean McDermott, says, you know, when he gets loose, when he's loose, that's when we practice these scramble drills. And he found Ray Davis, the rookie running back, for 42 yards, led to a touchdown. You know, he had a bunch of scrambles. The touchdown to Dalton Kincaid was a great play. He's the only quarterback in this league right now through 6 weeks that have not thrown an interception because they're a run first, not just because, but they're a run first team. They run it more than they've thrown it. They ran it last night more than they threw it. They do that almost every single week. And it's really been like that since Joe Brady took over halfway through the season last year. So they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't beat themselves. Let's face it, the strength of this team, of this 4-2 first place AFC East team, the strength is the five offensive linemen, Deion Dawkins, all the way across, you know, McGovern, Cyborg, Spencer Brown. They played every snap together this year, coached by Aaron Cromer, a great offensive line coach, and Josh. That's the strength of this team. Defensively, they play a very disciplined zone style of defense, even with Ed Oliver out or Von Miller or whatever. Doesn't matter. AJS Epinesa played well last night. But the linebackers, you know, Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernard, you know, I mean, Taron Johnson is the best slot corner in football. He showed it again last night, getting the last interception. So, look, the Bills won the game. The Jets played better under Jeff Ulbrich. They tied down and calling plays. They ran the ball better. Breece Hall had his best game. Garrett Wilson had a good game. Alan Lazard had a good game. Aaron played pretty well. Didn't play great, but he played pretty well. They had many chances. I mean, they had first and goal at the 3. They couldn't score. They had, you know, first down to 16. They couldn't score. They missed two field goals. Aaron said that they should have put up a 30 spot last night, and they should have. But they're a 20-point offense because they make a lot of mistakes. And until the mistakes go away or until the details take over so the mistakes don't get made, then they're going to still be a 20-point, you know, offense. Now, they made a trade for Davante Adams. It should help because Mike Williams has not been a help to this offense. So it should help Devontae coming in. He knows Aaron. Aaron knows him. But they haven't played together in 3 years. And one of the issues that the Jets have had is they have bad timing issues between quarterback and receivers. It has been going on all year. It was better last night, although at the end, Mike Williams wasn't where Aaron Rodgers expected him to be. And I've done enough Green Bay games with Aaron and with Devontae to know how precise their timing is. Now, it's a different offense. It's different terminology. You know, you don't. It's not the designated hitter rule. You just don't put a great player into an offense and he becomes a great player again. I mean, there's a lot of factors. So I'm curious how that's going to work out and how quickly it could take place, because they play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh this week, and Pittsburgh's defense will ruin your offense if you're not precise, if you're not detailed. I mean, they have too many guys that can just ruin what you do. So let's see how quickly the Davante Adams effect can take place. The one thing I'd say is, if you look at the last three losses of the Jets, you know, whether it's to Denver by a point, whether it's to the Minnesota Vikings in London, or it's last night, they are one play away from winning all three of those games. In each game, they had wide open Garrett Wilson against the Vikings. Aaron missed him. It's a touchdown. They take the lead. They win by a point. The week before, missed throws in the middle of the field to Garrett Wilson, to Xavier Gibson. You just can't have those things, and they keep having them. And they're just not – they ran the ball better last night, but they don't run it well when they have to run it, like from the three-yard line. Like, they just get stuffed, and they don't move the line of scrimmage. And so they have issues. So maybe Devontae will be a spark, but they're 2-4, and if they go to Pittsburgh, I mean, I think this is a critical, critical game for the Jets. Let's go to the other team in New York, to the New York Giants, where they wasted a great defensive effort. And when I say great, I mean great. Joe Burrow had just come off a 38-point performance against Baltimore, 35, you know, in the week before, 33 the week before that. I mean, they'd put up 33, 35, and 38 points and looked unstoppable offensively. The Giants had them, you know, 7 points at half, 10 points, you know, all the way up until the very end of the game when, you know, when Chase Brown went 30 yards up the middle and put up a 17 points. It was a 10-point game. And look, Ojulari, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, these rookies, Tyler Newbin, Drew Phillips, they played their butts off. I mean, they played great. The quarterback for the Giants played terrible. Like, you can't hide your quarterback, but you can create offense by formations, movement, where here's the throw. They did that for Daniel Jones, and he didn't make the throw. Like, it's there. Your roll right protection. Darius Slayton's in the 7-hole. All right, Tyrone Tracy's in the flat. The corner bites, or Wandale Robinson's in the flat. The corner bites on the flat. The corner is wide open. And your roll right, easy protection, just throw it. He's not throwing it. He's holding it. He's freezing. He's afraid to make a mistake, is my best. And this happened throughout the night. It's the reason why they were shut out until, if they didn't get a defensive pass interference penalty down in the end zone, they wouldn't have scored at all. They would have been shut out. It was horrible. And the shame is, it was the same offense that went up to Seattle and played great. The quarterback played really well in Seattle. Maybe his best game he's played in 2 years. He played really well. Goes up against Cincinnati, who's not a good defense, and has not played good defensive football, and freezes. And they play the Eagles this week, and it's a winnable game. And maybe Malik Nabers is back, and maybe Motor Singletary is back, and maybe Kayvon is back. But if the quarterback doesn't play better than he did against Cincinnati, then they're going to lose another division game. They could have beaten Dallas a couple weeks ago at home. So, anyways, that's the quarterback has to play better. I mean, you can't say it any clearer than that. And I could pull out six, literally, head-scratching plays where you're like, why wouldn't you throw it? It's right there. All right, let's go to in Pittsburgh where Russell Wilson's getting first-team reps this week. I would say this about Justin Fields in his six starts. They're 4-2. He's not losing games for them. Absolutely not. He's had one interception. Yeah, he lost a fumble or two. But he's taking care of the football. He's thrown 5 touchdowns. He's run for 5. He's accounted for 10 touchdowns. It's not – look, the defense, special teams, they block a punt last week against the Raiders. Big play. You know, the other areas of the team are really showing up, you know, so that's helped. The one thing I'd say, though, is, you know, 5 touchdown passes in 6 games, it feels a lot like last year when 3 quarterbacks threw a total of 13 touchdown passes. Somehow they still made the playoffs. But, you know, Russell – in Denver, 15 starts last year with limited help around him and a shaky offensive line. He threw 26 touchdown passes last year in 15 starts. Pittsburgh gets 26 touchdown passes. They're going deep in the playoffs. So I think they're looking at, okay, is Russell good to go? Is he without any concerns about his calf that's bothered him since training camp? If there's no concerns at all, I still don't think you make the move yet. I just don't. I don't think you make the move. Justin Fields is winning games. They're 4-2. They're right there with Baltimore. Those collisions are – but maybe that's what it's about. It's like, okay, when the schedule gets put up with Pittsburgh against Baltimore, we're going to have to throw the ball better. And maybe what's – and just the experience that Russell has. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I just don't think he's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback right now. And I don't know if Justin Fields is because he misses a lot of throws. George Pickens doesn't have a touchdown catch yet, even though he's their number one wide receiver. So you can – but he does give you a lot in the run game and extending plays and running because he's talented. Although he hasn't been supersonic so far this year. And one team that doesn't have any quarterback concerns whatsoever are the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, Lamar Jackson right now, he's playing better than at any point in any of his two MVP seasons. And this is what I'd say. His decision-making is almost flawless. He might miss a throw. He doesn't miss a read. It's unbelievable how he knows where to go with the ball. And there's a lot of play-action passes where he's turning his back to the defense and then resetting. I swear, last week, he did not miss a read the whole game. And now he's getting everybody involved. The touchdown to Mark Andrews, his first since, I don't know, week 11 last year. Isaiah Likely, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor. Of course, you know, him and right now Zay Flowers, he throws to Zay Flowers 9 times, catches all 9. And then you combine that with Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. Their offense looks unstoppable right now. They're way better right now than they were against Kansas City when they lost to the Chiefs. I don't know who can slow them down right now, the way Lamar is playing. I'm not anointing any MVPs after 6 weeks. It's silly, so I don't want to do that. But I'm just going to say this. He's playing better football now than he ever did under Tom Bunkin last year and when he won the MVP, or 2019 when he won the MVP, when he ran for 1,200-plus yards. He doesn't have to do that anymore. And he's winning from the pocket. All the things people said he can't do. Oh, he's just a street ball player. Oh, he can't win from the pocket. Oh, like, he hears everything. I saw him in Cincinnati the week before against Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, and there's nothing he couldn't do. And it's kind of funny just watching him game day because he really is just locked in. He doesn't talk really to anybody. He comes and sits down in silence. He's not a guy that looks at a lot of video and what the defense just did. I just think he's extremely skilled, really knows what he's looking at, and right now the ball goes where he wants it to go. And the quarterback play, let's face it, around the league is not great. But Lamar is playing great. Then the last thing I want to hit, you know, last night you watched this game, and Ray Davis, the fourth-round pick from Kentucky, has a great game. 152 all-around yards. Like, they're without James Cook, who's an elite back. Like, elite. I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be a drop-off. When a drop-off. Ray Davis did exactly what Buffalo needed him to do. And he was excellent, you know, catching the ball. Then you go around the league and you go, okay, what about Sean Tucker with Tampa the other day? Now, he hasn't played. Like, I think he had 2 carries for 7 yards in the first 5 weeks. He goes for 192 total yards. Caught everything they threw to him. Like, his ability to break away, and like, not one person solo tackled him. Not one in New Orleans the whole night. Like, it took multiple guys to get him to the ground. And they have Rashad White, I mean, they had struggled to run the football for years. That's the best performance by a running back that I've seen in a long, long time in Tampa. You know, undrafted player out of Syracuse, practice squad last year, gets a chance to play, lights it up against the Saints. And then there's Isaac Garendo. So Jordan Mason had been the starter the first 6 weeks, and he is second to Derrick Henry in rushing. He's had a phenomenal season. He gets hurt early in the game last week against Seattle on Thursday night. And Isaac Garendo, who was the fourth-round pick out of Louisville, ran a 4.39 at the combine at 218 pounds. Like, he had a 70-yarder and ran for 99 yards. My point is, I know we don't want to devalue the running back position. Obviously, Derrick Henry is what he is. But look at Christian McCaffrey after the year that he had. He can't get on the field this year. Like, these guys get beat up. And I'm up for all the every guy at every position getting paid. But Ray Davis is a fourth round pick. Garendo's a fourth round pick. Sean Tucker is a free agent. Like, do you need to? It's the argument that we get into the draft every year. All right, you know, is I don't know, is Bijan all of that in Atlanta? Is he worth the top 10 pick? Some days I think that Tyler Allgeier is just as good, if not better. Point is that you can find running backs. You can find them, you know. And why not? Why not just – oh, I mean, you look at Mike McDaniel, what he has with Mostert, you know. I think he was a seventh-round pick. You know, you look at all the guys right there, Devon Achane. You look at Jalen Wright. I think he was a third-round pick out of Tennessee this year. Like, you don't have any high first-round picks running the ball. Just go around the league and look and see what they're doing. Tank Bigsby might be better than, you know, ETN in Jacksonville. So it's just the running back conundrum. You can find these guys. There's a lot of good backs. We knew Ray Davis was a good back. He was at Kentucky. Sometimes he just played for a year, you know, and that's all you need to see. And there's not a lot of tread off the tire. And they come in with and not beat up. And maybe that's the case with Davis, Garendo, and Tucker. Maybe they hit it week six this week. They all had great games. Because they hadn't really been hit at all, and they're fresh, and they look fresh, and they were hard to tackle. But we know that these running backs take a beating, and it's not long before they start to deteriorate. It's a fact of life. There's not a lot of Wilmer Montgomerys or Emmett Smiths, you know, or Tony Dorsett's out there right now that can just – or Derrick Henry's that can just withstand, you know, year after year punishment the way, let's say, LaDainian Tomlinson did. Not many of those guys left. All right, that's been the Best Football Show. I look forward to talking to you real soon. Thanks for joining me. Go check out all of my breakdowns this week on Twitter at BaldyNFL and on Instagram at BaldyNFL. Thanks for joining me, everybody.